Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on this gorgeous sunny afternoon. I'm broadcasting from the Orlando, Florida area. Thank you for joining me. As I said earlier, all of my friends, wherever you might be located in the United States and around the world, especially my friends over in Costa Rica, thank you for joining me. We have a very informative show for you today, very exciting show as well. And I'd just like to remind you that if you want to follow me, friend me on Facebook, you can do so at naturedoc.com. That's at naturedoc. Facebook.com/naturedoc. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, this is at Blue Zone Wellness at Twitter. Again, if you want to friend request me on Facebook, that's Facebook.com/naturedoc. You can send me a friend request. And good in there, you can see the things that I post with respect to health, etc. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Blue Zone Wellness. That's at Blue Zone Wellness. Again, we have an exciting show for you today, as we do every Sunday afternoon, or most Sundays afternoon, rather. You can be sure to visit me or visit with me every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m., even if we're not broadcasting live, which we are doing most Sundays. We are broadcasting typically a replay. Even during the week, you can check out the archives if you need an opportunity to listen to a show or you just want to go back and listen to one that you didn't catch all of. You can do that at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. That's blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. You can also visit BlueZoneWellness.org as well as Phase3Ministries.com/WordPress for loads and loads of natural health information throughout the week that you may want to stay up on. Again, today's show is, again, we have an interesting and enlightening show for you. We're going to be talking about how coconut oil actually can help boost brain function as well as cognitive performance. We're going to talk about a sugary drink that you may be consuming that is very dangerous to you, and how these sugary drinks kill 180,000 people worldwide every year. That's every year, annually. Also, we'll be looking at this in our Week in Natural News segment. If you listen before, or if you haven't listened before, you would know that our Week in Natural News review segment is where we look at news, natural news or health news that come out during the week, certain articles, and we analyze and discuss them. Then we'll go over to our next segment, is our healing food segment. We actually usually have one or two articles there. This time we have maybe three or four articles in the healing food segment. We'll be talking about how dietary fiber can actually help reduce the risk or the likelihood that you will have a stroke. We'll also be talking about how fruits and vegetables actually improve your overall optimism, your outlook, and basically your mental capacity to look at things in a positive fashion as opposed to a negative. We'll also be looking at how fresh vegetables can actually help protect you against pancreatitis as well as pancreatic cancer, which is one of the most devastating cancers. Then finally, time permitting, when we get into our final segment, the healing herb, healing supplement segment, we'll be talking about how studies that show that how turmeric is actually, three Japanese studies that looked at how turmeric is actually equal to exercise and helping to prevent aging, which is interesting concept. And finally, we'll be looking at the capacity. We've been talking about different B vitamins, et cetera. We'll be looking at how vitamin B6 and the other B vitamins are very effective in helping to reduce inflammation in the body. So it's very, very interesting, very, very important Because when you have inflammation in the body, inflammation is a marker for many, many diseases, including cancer. So if there's inflammation in the body, that sets the stage, or it prepares the biological atmosphere within your body to end up or prepare you to develop cancer, diabetes, and many other cardiovascular diseases as well. Again, if you would like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in just a moment to continue with the show.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're in our first segment, the Weekend Natural News Review segment. And we're going to look at two articles. We're going to look at the shortest article first. And that article is actually taken from naturalnews.com. Again, if you're a first-time listener, this is where we look at a couple of articles, or maybe three or four articles. This week we only have two that we pull that have come out during the week, and we discuss and analyze this information. And we're going to look at two articles this week. The second week one is rather lengthy, so we're going to take the first one, the shorter one first. And this was taken from Natural News, and it talks about taken from naturalnews.com. Just one dose of coconut oil can tremendously boost brain function and cognitive performance. And the article basically went on to talk about how back in the 1950s, part of the creation to basically defame coconut oil, the saturated fat in coconut oil, was basically to promote margarine and hydrogenated trans fatty cooking oils and salad oils, etc., and which we know now have been proven as actually detrimental to overall health, these hydrogenated trans fat oils, etc. And so now some of the evidence is coming out to show basically how, especially some of the oils now, when they're not overly heated and the molecular structure changed by overheating or overcooking, can be very, very, very healthy. It's not so much fat, but the type of fats that you're consuming, which the body turns into fatty acids. So the article goes on to talk about how high triglyceride blood readings are red flags for obesity and diabetes, as well as other heart health issues, and this is true. And the author goes on to say further that most dietary fats contain long chain triglycerides, or LCTs, which are not easily metabolized and can be stored as fatty deposits in one's body. These long chain triglycerides rather contain chains anywhere from between 14 to 18 carbon atoms. However, coconut oil contains what's called medium chain triglycerides, or MCTs, which they have shorter chains of carbon atoms, which are only 5 to 12, as opposed to the 14 to 18 carbon atoms in these long chain triglycerides. So, so you take these shorter chain triglycerides, which are found in this particular oil, coconut oil. And so, if you look at it a little closer, when you compare these medium chain carbon atoms, is much easier metabolized by the liver, and the liver then can produce what's called ketone bodies, and these ketone bodies can actually replace glucose as metabolic fuel, which is what the brain actually uses for energy, not only the brain but the body as a whole. So the author goes on to point out in this article, as we age, the brain's ability to metabolize glucose for energy begins to wane. And especially for those of you who may have had a metabolic disorder or who may be insulin resistant. As we said here on Blue Zone Wellness before, insulin resistance is this first stage of diabetes, and then you turn to being pre-diabetic and then full-blown diabetes. So if you start off as insulin resistant, this also we've talked about before, this causes problems also with energy being available to the brain and for the brain to be used. Because the glucose cannot get into the cells. So when we look at MCT or these medium chain triglycerides, they can actually be used as cellular fuel in the brain when glucose is not available. So again, as you age, the capacity of the brain to use glucose or to metabolize glucose begins to lessen. But coconut oil with these medium chain triglycerides can actually the brain can actually use these coconut oil for the ketones bodies. These can actually replace the glucose as metabolic fuel if in fact your brain is not being able to get a hold of the glucose as necessary. And so the article goes on to point out further, it cites a study that a 2004 study published in the Journal of Neurobiology of Aging, and this study determined that coconut oil, the medium chain triglycerides in coconut oil, rather, improve cognitive function among older folks with memory problems and even Alzheimer's disease. In the study, they took 20 subjects and they randomly fed them coconut oil or placebos on different days. Some of the Alzheimer's group demonstrated improved scoring on a special Alzheimer's cognitive rating scale, and all of them actually demonstrated better paragraph recall shortly after taking each dose of the coconut oil. The author goes on to point out in this article that this wasn't a long-term study. However, they did receive immediate positive cognitive and memory results from single doses, just one dosage of the coconut oil as compared to the placebos. So the author goes on to ask, why wasn't this published in the mainstream media or reported to the medical practitioners? And the article goes on to theorize that perhaps the pharmaceutical companies had a stake in, after seeing this research come out, saying, hey, maybe we can make a synthetic version of these ketones and make money on it, which I would not doubt one bit that was very probable. At any rate, The article goes on to say further, around 2009 into 2010, Mary Newport, MD, and we've talked about her on here before, her husband had deteriorated from Alzheimer's so badly that he couldn't even draw a simple illustration of a clock or perform daily functions without being micromanaged. And it was her intention, as he points out in the article as well, to take him to receive the drug that was developed in 2004 that ended up not being effective. So Dr. Newport tried to get her husband into a trial for a new Alzheimer's drug, but he was so bad off that he didn't qualify to get into this trial. So after discovering that this new drug was a synthetic version of the MCTs, or the medium chain triglycerides for creating ketone bodies and improving brain function. She actually researched and she realized that palm as well as coconut oils also contain these medium chain triglycerides. So after feeding her husband coconut oil, he actually started making a remarkable comeback from almost total dementia to being able to start and finish tasks and remember people as well as events. And the article is going to say that Dr. Newport observed that only two doses spaced 8 hours apart were sufficient, while the pharmaceutical version required doses every 3 hours. So it's interesting. So you see, when we take that which the Creator has given us in its natural state, her husband only needed two dosages a day to get the desired results or to get the very beneficial results, while the pharmaceutical version of it, you needed to have to take the dosages every 3 hours. So here you can see where if you had to take this drug every 3 hours, it could get very expensive. Not only that, you have to look at the side effects of the drug. If you're taking it every 3 hours, what's the side effects on your liver, and what's the side effects on your kidney as well? Not only your liver and kidney, but whenever you take synthetic drugs, not only do they affect your liver and your kidney, but they also get into the tissues. And over time, they can, if you're taking drugs consistently on a consistent basis, over now if you have to take something on a short time basis, on an emergency basis, that's understood. But just to take drugs for chronic diseases and lifestyle diseases, as opposed to if you're in an accident and a trauma and things of that nature, or to save your life at a moment's notice for a short period of time, that's understandable. But to get on drugs or to use them as a cure all, and even in many cases, in emergency cases, many times you could use some herbs that are actually designed for emergency cases, and even in those cases, sometimes you might not have to always use drugs, but only in limited cases for short amounts of time. But that's not how drugs are typically dispersed. They're typically dispersed for everything, and this is one of the reasons that we have the problem that we're having. So back to this coconut oil and these medium chain triglycerides. And Dr. Newport observed, as I said earlier, that only two doses spaced 8 hours apart were sufficient, while the pharmaceutical version required doses every 3 hours. And the article went on to say further that if she had actually enrolled her husband into the 2009-2010 Alzheimer's drug trial, she could possibly have lost him completely. The drugs trial had to actually be stopped because of 9 deaths among those taking the higher dosages. So, not only is this what I said earlier, you know, the cost is not just monetary. The cost is also health, sometimes even life. And so the article closes out talking about how Dr. Newport's success without side effects places coconut oil as a dementia food medicine of choice over expensive and harmful pharmaceutical drugs. And the article pointed out how there's an interview with Dr. Newport at tv.greenmedinfo.com. You can go and watch that interview if you like. Again, that's tv.greenmedinfo.com. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to move on to our second article now. We're in our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review. This article and discussion we're going to be discussing next is actually from Mercola.com. And it's entitled "Sugary Drinks Linked to Over 180,000 Deaths Worldwide." And it's a very enlightening article. It's rather lengthy, but we're going to talk about some of it. We're not going to cover the entire thing. But Dr. Mercola starts off by saying in this article, he says, "I've been warning you of the dangers of soda since I started this site over 16 years ago." And he goes on to say further, and not only that, and he says, "And the list of reasons to avoid this beverage just keeps getting longer." He says, "Americans in particular get most of their daily calories from sugar, primarily in the form of high fructose corn syrup, HFCS for short, and soda, and as well as other sweetened beverages." But he says half of the U.S. population over the age of 2 consumes sugary drinks on a daily basis. So that's a miraculous figure. But if you're over the age of 2 and you live in America, then 50% of people over the age of 2 in the United States of America consume sugary drinks on a daily basis. And he goes on to say this figure does not even include 100% fruit juices, flavored milk, or sweetened teas, all of which are sugary as well. So even if you eliminate the so-called 100% fruit juices, the flavored milk, or the sweetened teas, which are in themselves sugary drinks, that would probably, even if you exclude those, 50% of all Americans over two drink these sugary drinks every day. So if you add those in, who knows what the figure would climb to. He goes on to point out in his article that many people mistakenly believe that as long as you are drinking fruit juice, it's healthy even though it's sweet. And he goes on to point out that this is indeed a very dangerous misconception, and it's fueling the rising rates of weight gain as well as obesity and fatty liver disease, high blood pressure, and type 2 diabetes in the United States, as well as other so-called developed nations and countries. So here we have an issue where we have habits that are adding to the demise of our health, and also health is closely associated with wealth. And so this is one of the reasons we've talked about the healthcare costs. And your health can actually eat away the majority. If you have health problems, this health can cause your wealth to be eaten away. And you can see with things such as the sugary drinks and sugary beverages. And as he points out further in his article, he says that it's important to realize sugary drinks, soda, and even fresh squeezed fruit juice contain fructose, which has been identified as one of the primary culprits in the meteoric rise of obesity and related health problems, in large part due to its ability to turn on your, quote, fat switch. Now, again, even though naturally freeze fruit juice contains fructose, I would say that because of the other constituents in naturally squeezed fruit juice, especially if it's organic, you're not going to have a problem there unless you're already a diabetic, etc. But again, if you're eating it the way that God created it, it was made for your body, and so that type of fructose is not really going to, I don't see that as a problem unless you already have health issues and you may need some dietary modifications in general. He goes on to point out that the so-called enhanced water products are another source of hidden fructose and or artificial sweeteners, which can be even worse for your health than sugar. And I agree with him on this next statement where he points out, he says, I recommend drinking plenty of pure water as your primary beverage of choice. And I agree with that. Our primary beverage of choice should be pure, fresh water. Water makes up 70%, 75%, maybe even 80% of our bodies overall, and the body craves and needs water. And you would do much better by drinking water than by drinking fruit juices. And if you're going to drink fruit juices, it's best, of course, to drink freshly squeezed or freshly made juice. He goes on to point out how preliminary research presented at the American Heart Association's Epidemiology and Prevention, Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Metabolism 2013 scientific sessions suggests sugary beverages are to blame for about 183,000 deaths worldwide every year, including 133 diabetes deaths, 44,000 heart disease deaths, and 6,000 cancer deaths every year. He goes on to say, among the 35 largest countries in the world, Mexico had the highest death rates associated with sugary beverage consumption. He says there the average consumption of sugary beverages was 24 ounces per day. So the average consumption in Mexico of sugary drinks and beverages was 24 ounces a day. That's pretty significant. He points out that Bangladesh had the lowest death rates and that the United States ranked third with an estimated 25,000 annual deaths from drinking sweetened drinks. And he pointed out that many people might have thought that the U.S. would come in first place. But he also pointed out that America has the American processed foods contain far more sugar than other nations. So Americans also, he says, consume a lot of hidden sugar in products other than their beverages. He also goes on to say in his article that that the death rates associated with sweetened beverages were highest in those under the age of 45. And he cites an article that says, while the connection between, and I'm quoting the article that he cites, while the connection between excess sugar and chronic disease is well known, the latest research is the first to quantify deaths correlated with sugar drinks worldwide. To reach their conclusion, the scientists analyzed data from the 2010 Global Burden of Disease Study and recorded how much sugar sweetened beverages people drank, dividing up the data by age and sex. Then they figured out how the various amount corresponded to obesity rates. Lastly, they calculated how much obesity affected diabetes, heart disease, and certain cancers, and determined the mortality rates from these diseases, ending up with the number of deaths that could be attributed to consuming sugary beverages by age and sex. Now, it's interesting, again, that the research shows that the majority of these deaths occurred in those under 45. So we live in a time that in past times people would die from these diseases, 60, 70 years old, these diabetes and coronary issues and previously diseases and abnormalities seen in those who were older. Now, in general, the diseases are being seen. Now the diseases are being seen in those who are younger. As Dr. Mercola pointed out in this study, a majority of the deaths were in those under the age of 45 years old. I see in the chat room there's a question that says, so does that mean that in the U.S., New Orleans is number of the states? And for deaths due to sugar intake, I'm not quite understanding the question, but in this particular study, they didn't mention particular states, but they in their study, they basically looked at it on the level of countries. But I'm going to go turn here a little bit more to America and look at, because he goes on, Dr. Mercola goes on in this article to point out further that. He cites a Time magazine article where it says dealing with this particular study. Apparently, he says our findings should push policymakers worldwide to make effective policies to reduce consumption of sugary beverages, such as taxation, mass media campaigns, and reducing availability of these drinks. Individuals should drink fewer sugary beverages and encourage their family and friends to do the same. And then he cites that what Mayor Bloomberg did, tried to ban the sale of the sugary drinks over 16 ounces in restaurants and food carts and theaters. But he goes on to point out that he thinks educating the people would be a better choice, and that then once the people are educated, they can vote with their pocketbook. And I agree with that, as opposed to trying to tax things out of existence. If once the people are educated and they see that that these sugary drinks are destroying their lives and the health of their families, then if they purchase those things that are healthier, they're voting with their pocketbooks, and that will have a far more weight with these people that are producing these sugary drinks than just trying to tax things out of existence. To continue further in this particular article, Dr. Mercola goes on to say that he cites a scientific statement from the American Heart Association about sugar consumption and heart disease risk. He goes on to say that in 2009, the American Heart Association issued a scientific statement about sugar intake and heart health, pointing out that there is evidence for a relationship between the two. And he cites the abstract from the American Heart Association. He quotes them from this 2009 scientific statement, and he says, quote, high intakes of dietary sugars in the setting of a worldwide pandemic of obesity and cardiovascular disease have heightened concerns about the adverse effects of excessive consumption of sugars. In 2001 to 2004, the usual intake of added sugars for Americans was 22.2 teaspoons per day, or 355 calories per day. Between 1970 and 2005, the average annual availability of sugars/added sugars increased by 19%, which added 76 calories to America's average daily energy intake. Soft drinks and other sugar-sweetened beverages are the primary source of added sugars in Americans' diets. Excessive consumption of sugars has been linked with several metabolic abnormalities and adverse health conditions, as well as shortfalls of essential nutrients. The American Heart Association, he's still quoting from them, this article that they put out in 2009, recommends reductions in the intake of added sugars. A prudent upper limit of intake is half of the discretionary calorie allowance, which for most American women is no more than 100 calories per day, and for most American men is no more than 150 calories per day from added sugars. So again, he's just pointing out how sugar, we've talked about that here on Blue Zone Wellness before, how sugar amongst other things, suppresses the immune system. Not only that, it's been associated with cardiovascular diseases and this processed sugar we're talking about. So the science is coming out stronger and stronger, and many people have many diseases, especially diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular diseases and all kinds of things, and it's sometimes they don't connect it with the sugar that they may have been consuming, the artificial sugars. Now, Dr. Mercola goes on further in this article to point out, he asks the question, how much sugar do you eat or drink each day? And then he goes on to say, he says, let's start with soda, for instance. 100 calories isn't much. He suggests one 12-ounce regular soda contains about 140 calories, the equivalent of 10 teaspoons of sugar. Now, I'm just let me add to that what he's saying. Do you know that you realize that you knock out probably about, one-third of your immune system for a number of hours with that much sugar? So by taking, if one 12-ounce regular soda or soft drink contains 140 calories or the equivalent of 10 teaspoons of sugar, similarly, one 8-ounce glass of orange juice has about 8 full teaspoons of sugar, and at least 50% of that sugar is fructose. So drinking just one 8-ounce glass of orange juice will wallop your system with about 25 grams of fructose, and which is more than you should have the entire day. Now, I'm sure he's not talking about fresh squeezed orange juice. And as I said earlier, the Creator has put other nutrients in these, again, to balance off what you would get in regular fructose, the type of orange juice that you typically buy in the store, which is typically processed and had all these additives and added sugar, etc. Dr. Mercola goes on to say that fructose has been identified as one of the primary culprits in the meteoric rise of obesity and related health problems, and while the majority of the problem is caused by the large quantities of high fructose corn syrup added to so many processed foods and sweetened beverages, naturally occurring fructose in large amounts of fruit juice is also a problem. Fructose is also a likely culprit, he writes, behind the millions of U.S. children struggling with non-alcoholic liver disease, which is caused by a buildup of fat within liver cells. And fructose is very hard on your liver in much the same way as drinking alcohol. So think about that for a moment, especially with the high fructose corn syrup and the drinks that are going on, drinking too much. And again, this is why if you listen to Blue Zone Wellness before, I always talk about we should eat a varied diet. Our diet should be consistent with the colors of the rainbow. Again, the colors of the rainbow are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And we should eat as close to the garden as possible on a consistent basis. And so here you see that, as he points out, a lot of children are being diagnosed with fatty liver disease. And we also talk about those laws of health, the last one being temperance. So in even in eating that which is healthy for you, you should not overdo it. For instance, if you're giving your child even freshly squeezed juices, if you're giving them too much, of course they're going to end up getting too much fructose. But in general, if you're eating all things temperate, if you're eating a varied diet, and if you're not eating all of these processed foods, you're probably not going to have much of a problem. Now, of course, not only those things, but we also talked about generally following those laws of health, being the trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. Now, Dr. Mercola goes on further, pointing out in this article, he says around 100 years ago, the average American consumed a mere 15 grams of fructose a day, primarily in the form of whole wheat. 100 years later, one-fourth of Americans are consuming more than 135 grams per day. That's over a quarter of a pound, largely in the form of soda, and other sweetened beverages, he says. He says fructose at 15 grams a day is unlikely to do much harm unless you suffer from high uric acid levels. And if you have high uric acid levels, those are people who tend to develop diseases such as gout. However, at nearly 10 times that amount, it becomes, as he points out in his article, a major cause of obesity and nearly all chronic degenerative diseases. So as a standard recommendation, his recommendation is to keeping your total daily consumption of fructose below 25 grams per day. But he says for most people, it would actually be wise to limit it to 15 grams per day, as it is virtually guaranteed that you will consume hidden sources of fructose from most beverages and just about any processed food that you might eat. And then he, in the article, he puts a very interesting I guess you could call it a little JPEG image here, breaking down, or a chart breaking down the amount of sugar in a cup and fructose filled beverages. And he points out how many of the innocent looking foods that we eat every day contain massive amounts of sugar that can actually severely damage our health. And he cites Dr. Richard Johnson, author of the book The Fat Switch, warns us against eating foods that contain excessive amounts of fructose. And then he asks the question, he goes on to point out some of the amounts of fructose in terms of grams that are in some of the foods that we eat. And he points out how the average American drinks more than 60 gallons of soft drink each year. Now, that is an amazing amount of soft drinks that Americans are drinking each year. I see one of the posters says that Americans are drowning in sugar. In 2009, the U.S. was ranked fourth in sugar consumption. That's correct. We are drowning in sugar consumption. And as this article goes on to point out further, that the average American drinks more than 60 gallons of soft drink each year. And he goes on to point out how a 32-ounce container of soda, so if you go and you get one of these, I think the big gulp is probably 64 ounces, but half of that, 32 ounces of soda, you're going to be consuming about 52 grams of fructose. That's a significant amount. That's just from the soda. That doesn't even include what you may have eaten for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. And not only that, most people snack. Now, you know, here, if you listen to Blue Zone Wellness, we don't advocate snacking between meals. We don't advocate several meals. As a practitioner, I have not seen that this works. This is conventional wisdom, but when you get people who are coming in who are sick with these diseases, and you look at their eating habits, you realize the end result of these type of eating habits, and so you don't recommend some of these things. Nevertheless, he also points out in this chart that if you were to drink 16-ounce container of a soda, you would be getting 26 grams of this high fructose corn syrup, and if you drink 12 ounces of it, you would be getting about 22 grams of it. He goes on to point out further in this article, before buying any commercial fruit juice, check the label first. Most fruit juices contain high fructose corn syrup, HFCS, as well as artificial flavors. And he goes on to point out how unsweetened apple juice, for instance, if you bought unsweetened apple juice in 8 ounces, it would have 16 grams of high fructose corn syrup. Fruit punch, 8 ounces, would have 14 grams. Cranberry juice cocktail, 8 ounces, would have 13 grams. Fruit drink, 25% apple juice, 8 ounces, would have 12 grams of high fructose corn syrup. Pineapple juice, 8 ounces, would have 11 grams. Orange juice, 8 ounces, would also have 11 grams. And lemonade would have 10.5 grams in an 8 ounce if you bought an 8 ounce container of it. He also goes on to point out other sickly sweet drinks to avoid. Energy drinks like Red Bull and Monster, so they would have 32 to 40 grams per 20 ounces that you would consume of high fructose corn syrup. Wine coolers would have 18 to 22 grams for every 12 ounces that you consume. Starbucks Frappuccino would have 18 grams for that 9 ounces. Sweetened teas would have 10 to 14 grams in every 8 ounces. Then he goes on to point out in this chart, he says, did you know that some breakfast cereals contain as much as 40% sugar by weight? And this is, again, like one of the posters said over in our chat room, that Americans are drowning in sugar. And in 2009, the USA was ranked fourth in sugar consumption. And you can begin to see why by looking at these statistics here on this particular article by Dr. Mercola. And he points out next, as I said a minute ago, that some breakfast cereals contain as much as 40% sugar by weight. And he points out Raisin Bran is 7.6 grams of sugar per cup. Granola without raisins is 7 grams per half a cup. Cocoa Puffs, 6 grams for every 3/4 cups. Sugar Frosted Corn Flakes, 6 grams every 3/4 cup. And then he goes on to point out cakes and pies and pastries and ice cream and other frozen treats. He points out how other candy bars and cookies have 10 to 12 grams of fructose. Chocolate chip cookie, 4 grams per cookie. Double fudge chocolate cake, 37 grams per slice. Ice carrot cake, 27 grams per slice, peach cobbler, 17 grams per slice, apple pie, 17 grams per slice, sponge cake, 7 grams per slice, Dairy Queen peanut butter, cup blizzard, 60.5 grams, Dairy Queen chocolate malt, 42 grams, McDonald's vanilla triple thick shake, 22 grams, McDonald's low-fat strawberry sundae, 18 grams, low-fat fruit yogurt, 15 to 18 grams for 16 ounces, and low-fat ice cream, 7 to 10 grams per scoop. Finally, he goes on to point out how preserves, canned and dried fruits and jellies, fruit is already loaded with fructose, but canned fruits packed in sweet syrup is definitely worse. Again, you can go to Mercola.com, and you can read the entire article yourself and look at the chart. And I'm going to stop there because we have to move on to our healing food section. But it's an excellent article. There's more to it that I didn't get to. But Dr. Mercola, you can go again, or you can find that article at Mercola.com. Now we're going to pivot over to we stayed a little longer than I intended on that, but I thought it was important to cover. We're going to pivot over to our healing food section. And this is the section that we talk about some of the healing foods that we should eat and some of the benefits of these foods. And I want to talk first about how by eating increasing amounts of fiber, you can actually dramatically reduce the likelihood that you will have a stroke. Now, it's very important to understand that in the United States alone, and sugar that we've been talking about in high fructose corn syrup is one of the things that we've spoken about that can affect our cardiovascular health, which plays directly into having strokes and heart attacks and some of the other things that we have. And not only that, sugar actually feeds cancer. So if you want to feed cancer or some of these other diseases, just eat a lot of sugar like we Americans are doing, and you're going to have these diseases. Now, while we're over here in our healing food section, we need to understand, we want to talk about how fiber can actually help reduce the likelihood that you would develop a stroke or have a stroke. Now, the incidence of stroke in the U.S. as well as in Western cultures continues to grow at a very staggering rate. In fact, it takes about stroke takes about 150,000 American lives every year. Making it the fourth leading cause of preventable death, and strokes are closely aligned with heart disease as well as other vascular disorders, and it's actually the stroke is a result of several key modifiable lifestyle factors, including smoking, lack of regular exercise, poor dietary choices, and all these things contribute to or promote arterial hardening and blood clots. At some time break off and circulate until they reach a narrowed artery, and the result is a heart attack or a stroke. Now, there was some research from the University of Leeds in the UK that was published, and the result of the study in the American Heart Association journal, Stroke. And in this research, they explain how taking steps to include more fiber in your diet could actually help protect you from suffering a stroke. The study team leader, Dr. Diane The Repperton, noted that, quote, most people do not get the recommended level of fiber, and increasing fiber may actually contribute to lower risk for stroke. She went on to say that we must educate consumers on the continued importance of increasing fiber She says, quote, we must educate consumers on the continued importance of increasing fiber intake and help them learn how to increase fiber in their diet. Now, the recommended daily intake for fiber is about, just set at 25 grams, and yet most people eat less than 10 grams due to the high number of calories consumed from an increasingly refined diet. Again, a lot of times when we eat these foods that we've been talking about and the sugars that we eat, they give you this false sense of being full, so now you don't want to eat some of the other things. If you've been eating ice cream and cookies and cakes, et cetera, you really don't have a desire to eat these things. And so, with the food processing, for instance, food processing actually removes most nutrients and fiber from our foods while fortifying them with these added sugars that we've been talking about. Not only that, they fortify them with fats and flavorings to actually prompt our taste buds, actually. And so dietary fiber, however, comes from plants, which is a critical food source and that is grossly lacking in most Western diets, or many Western diets. And so in this particular study that we're talking about here, scientists focused on 8 large-scale studies published over a 22-year span that assessed the impact of diet on both ischemic stroke, which is those that are caused by blood clots, as well as hemorrhagic strokes, which are those caused by blood vessel leakage. And after adjusting for risk variables such as smoking and age, et cetera, the researchers found that for every seven gram increase in our fiber on a daily basis that we eat daily. So in other words, for every increase of 7 grams in the fiber that we eat every day, the risk of first-time stroke goes down by a full 7%. So that means that when you increase your fiber by every 7 grams or 7,000 milligrams, so by every 7 grams that you increase your fiber intake, you decrease the likelihood of a first stroke by 7%. So you would need to consume 6 to 8 servings of grains and 8 to 10 servings of vegetables and fruits daily to get about that to reach that 25 grams of fiber that is recommended. And so again, if you're eating these processed foods and these candies and cookies and that there's been sugars that have been added to the food that we've been talking about earlier, you're not going to be getting the amounts of fiber that you need. Not only are you not going to be getting the amounts of fiber that you need, but you're also going to be getting the damaging effect from high fructose corn syrup and some of the other flavorings and fattenings and everything else that they're putting in the foods. And it's going to not only do damage to your body, your physical body, that we talked about on here before, but it's also going to do damage to your cognitive abilities, or in other words, your intellect. And so, again, now, also, that kind of puts us over into our next healing food that I want to mention. And, again, you've heard me talk about, if you've listened before, talking about eating in harmony with the rainbow. And you've heard me talk about the Genesis diet, which the original diet given to man was what we would call these days a vegan diet. Now, I know not everybody is at that level, but it is, in my opinion, the optimum diet. And based upon my own personal experience and my practice, when I'm dealing with people who are sick with diabetes and with cancer and with lupus and with whatever disease they may come, obesity, whatever the case may be, I found that the vegan diet is the best healing diet. Not only is it the best healing diet, it's the best preventative diet. When the diet is eaten, and not just when it's varied, not just eating the same thing every day. Of course, it's just not the diet alone. There's emotional issues. There's exercise. There's eating in temperance. Even when you eat healthy, you should not be a glutton. A gluttony destroys the nervous system. And so, I want to look at a study real briefly here that came out that from Harvard that talks about how fruits and vegetables actually improve optimism. And the reason it does is because it affects the brain. So, and we've talked about that on here before. So, there was a study that came out. It was conducted by scientists at the Harvard School of Public Health, and they discovered yet another reason, as we've talked about on Blue Zone Wellness before, why we should eat a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, eating in harmony with the rainbow, as I call it. In this particular study, they assessed the blood concentrations of 9 antioxidants, including carotenoids, which are a class of antioxidants, mostly found in orange-colored produce. And they use 1,000 male and female participants between the ages of 25 and 74. And during the assessment, the participants completed a questionnaire about their attitudes on life. And the scientists from this Harvard School of Public Health study found that the most optimistic participants each had up to a 13% increase in blood concentration of these carotenoids compared to those who were less optimistic. So, again, we could do an entire show on just the way that eating healthy affects our emotions, affects our neurotransmitters. We could do an entire show on that. But this was a study, again, from Harvard School of Public Health. And they talked about how when they looked at the blood of these people, how the participants who had the most of these concentrations of these antioxidants, carotenoids specifically, were more optimistic, and those who had less were less optimistic. They saw things in more of a negative light. The scientists also found that the participants who consumed fewer than 3 servings of fruit and vegetables per day were considerably less optimistic than those who consume more than 3 servings per day. So again, we can see how even our outlooks on life can be affected by what we consume. individuals, the studies also said, lead study, or the lead author rather of the study said, quote, individuals with greater optimism tended to have greater levels of carotenoids, such as beta carotene, Julia Boehm, who was the lead investigator in the study. And she went on to say that this is the first study of its kind to report a relationship between optimism and healthier levels of carotenoid concentrations. And this study from the Harvard School of Public Health might be the first to actually directly address the connection between antioxidant foods and optimism, but is not the first to address the overall psychological effects of consuming natural produce. And that's why I said earlier we can do an entire show on that. In fact, there was a series of studies co-authored by Professor Sarah Stewart Brown at the University of Warwick, for instance, where she showed that individuals who consumed the most fruits and vegetables were least likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, as well as other mental issues. So again, there's a very, very close connection between what we consume and even our mental outlook on life. And we've talked about on here before, I've given scientific evidence to show how children who eat a healthier diet have scored higher on tests, as opposed to those who eat a lot of sugary drinks and foods, how they would typically have found to show 10 to 15, even 20 points lower on tests, on cognitive tests, because by eating these foods, we actually affects our mental, our spiritual, and our emotional health, not to mention our physical health. And finally, if you listen to Blue Zone Wellness, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I have a practice as well as a ministry here in Orlando, Florida. I'd like to remind you to join me every week here from 4 to 5 p.m. Every Sunday. We have about 10 minutes left, and we're still in our segment of the show where we deal with healing foods. And I have one other topic I want to deal with, the healing foods. And this is a study that came out that talked about how fresh vegetable diet actually protects us against pancreatitis and as well as pancreatic cancer. Now, pancreatic cancer is one of those cancers that you don't want to get any cancer, but any practitioner knows that if a person comes in with pancreatic cancer, that is a deadly, very deadly cancer, and it has a very, very high success rate of killing humans. And so so pancreatic cancer it has a very high fatality rate, and so when we see that, even natural practitioners, we want to jump on it as quickly as possible. But one of the things that can help the pancreas overall, even in diabetes, is vegetables. In fact, many times when someone comes in with a pancreatic issue, be they pre-diabetic, be they insulin resistant, be they full-blown diabetes, if you get them on all vegetables, every meal vegetables, as well as exercising, and they may want to put some minerals in, but many times just by taking them off all other foods but vegetables for 14 days, big salads with four or five different vegetables, and maybe some lightly steamed broccoli in the evening, usually within 2 weeks, a month maximum, you can reverse that diabetes, because you're feeding the pancreas the very thing that it needs. This particular study actually confirms that, the benefit of vegetables. And here there was a study that was done from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, and dealing with how eating four daily servings of vegetables actually cuts the risk of pancreatitis in half. And now, so when we look at our pancreas, it functions to release digestive enzymes to help break down the food that we consume. And so, say for instance, if you were to be diagnosed with acute pancreatitis, it's a very serious and even potentially life-threatening disease that actually occurs when those enzymes that are actually supposed to break down your food begin to eat the pancreas. Now, that would tell me as a practitioner, if the enzymes have turned and begin to eat that's supposed to break down food are beginning to break down and destroy the pancreas, that the body is confused, and these cells are supposed to communicate with one another. And they use minerals and nutrients to actually to communicate with one another. So think about it for a second. If you become deficient in, say, calcium, for instance, or some of the other minerals that the cells need to, quote, communicate with one another, and then the communication is thrown off, and so the cells that are supposed to be breaking down food are actually eating the pancreas, of course, there's a problem. And so in this particular study from Sweden, the researchers published the result of a cohort of studies in the journal Gut, which is an international journal of gastroenterology and hepatology that explains how a vegetable-rich diet is actually protective against non-gallstone-related acute pancreatitis. And the study was the first broad population-based research body to actually investigate how vegetables and fruit influence the risk of developing pancreatitis and actually indirectly the future risk of pancreatic cancer. And what they did was they examined the dietary habits of 80,000 Swedes for a period of 11 years via a standard questionnaire to determine vegetable and fruit consumption patterns. And the goal of the research was to gain a better understanding of possible connection between antioxidant levels, which are affected, of course, by our diet, and an increased risk of acute pancreatitis. Then over 11 years, 320 participants actually developed cases of acute pancreatitis that weren't connected to gallstones, which are the common cause of the disease. And after adjusting their statistics for the various factors that they always do in these studies, the researchers found that those who ate more than 4 servings of vegetables a day were actually 44% less likely to develop acute pancreatitis than those who ate less than 1 serving of vegetables a day. So if you want to help your pancreas developing pancreatitis or even diabetes, be sure to eat servings, many servings of vegetables every day. Preferably eat them in a raw state as possible with your meal. And I always recommend and suggest to those that come to my office or that come to me with diseases, I always recommend that they not eat fruit and vegetables at the same meal. But that they eat copious amounts of fruits and vegetables. That whenever they are eating a cooked food, always also eat raw food for the enzyme. It takes a lot of the burden off of the pancreas. And this philosophy was actually born out also in this study, when they were able to look and see how the vegetables actually were significant in helping the pancreas from keeping the likelihood of developing pancreatitis, which is in many cases a forerunner, can be the forerunner of pancreatic cancer. Again, excuse me. Now we're not going to be able to get to our final, segment today, which is our healing food, healing supplement segment. Well, I guess we'll pick up and maybe we'll give that more time next week. But I want to talk about two issues there. I want to talk about how there are some studies in turmeric that came out with regard to turmeric, the herb turmeric, and from Japan, actually, they did three studies that showed they were able to demonstrate how taking turmeric is equal, in exercise and its ability to prevent aging. And so I have to get to that. I have to get to that one next week. I'll make sure that I take that in our final segment next week, and also how vitamin B actually increases, or low vitamin B rather, increases inflammation and causes oxidative stress. And this is when we typically in our third segment we talk about a healing herbs or a healing supplement, which we would have done to both of those today, but we spent a little more time on the sugary foods than I anticipated, but I thought it was important to do so. But we'll deal with these two issues in our final segment next week, in our final healing herb, healing supplement segment next week. Now, again, I'd like to remind you, if you like to read articles, you can do so at my blog, Phase 3 Ministries, PHASE, the number 3ministries.com /WordPress. I have lots of articles there. You can check out bluezonewellness.org. You can follow me or send me a friend request at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also follow me at Twitter. I'm going Twitter at bluezonewellness. We're down to just a few minutes here left. Again, we thank you for listening. I'd like to remind you that we're here on Sundays from 4 to 5 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. And remember those laws of health: trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, self-control, and temperance. Again, thank you for listening, and until next week, God bless.